Welcome to the Hammer and Fire podcast. This is Nicholas Kesterson.
This is Chaplain Ted.
And this week we don't have a special guest. It's back to just the two of us. We are going to be talking about envy and covetousness today. Two things that we don't like to talk about. We don't like to admit we got a problem with it. We don't want to admit that somebody is better than us because ding, 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 pride in the way again. But it is something that we deal with as, even as Christians, a lot in our walk with God. And it's something that we deal with. You see it all around. And you see it in the way that people talk, the way that people act. The great example that I always see is, the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses. You have the people that have, they are bringing in, $100,000 a year, but they're trying to have a boat, a camper, a house, and not the cheap ones. They want the expensive ones and the nice big house and the nice big bass boat and the nice big new vehicle. And then it comes down to it, and they're broke, and they look nice on the outside, but they have no money.
Trying to buy happiness.
Yeah. And that's what envy and covetousness leads to. You start wanting what other people have, what other people have the ability to buy, or even people that don't have the ability to buy it, and you just don't see what they're going through at home. And you want that.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, it's what society tells us all the time. I mean, all these, I think of one of the songs that I love to listen to, that it talks about how, you don't feel like a man if you don't have this stuff, or you don't feel like you're, good enough if you don't have perfect hair and the right sneakers or the right clothing. You know, you're not in Gucci or Prada or whatever. And, society tells us that you have to have those things to be important. You have to have those things to be, successful. And people will go and spend all their money to buy, that stuff when they don't have the money for it.
I wonder if when folks go to college, like marketing, I wonder if they're told about covetousness. Because that's what they're doing. They're using.
Yeah. Well, they're using
for the marketing's
pride
against
them. And again, pride, as we've said before, pride leads to about everything. Again, this is a great one. Why do you envy? Why do you covet that stuff? Because you feel like you're less of a person, which means your pride takes a hit, and then you want to be like that person.
Yeah.
And I think as a society, we continue to push that idea that money buys happiness.
Uh-huh.
And
it doesn't.
No, and again, we've said this before. If money bought happiness, then why do we have so many celebrities that are depressed, taking drugs, doing all this stuff? They have all the money that they could ever use, and yet they're still not happy. They're still wanting more. They're still trying to fill that hole. So,
they were, they had got to the top, and they were still not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then also maybe they were overwhelmed with their schedule, so they fell into the addictions, thinking that they could self-medicate themselves. And then they found out that it's still not working, I'm still not happy. But there is a few celebrities that I've seen lately that have been coming to Christ, getting mm-hmm. baptized. And
oh,
one of them was what's his name? The wrestler. Hulk or Hogan. That's before your time.
Well, Hulk Hogan.
And
I
then,
know who it
and
is.
And then the most current one was Vaughn, tattoo artist lady. I mean, she was into the witchcraft and everything.
Yeah.
And she had her own tattoo parlors and everything. And she came to Christ, got baptized, and was reborn.
Well, I think about, I mean, you see all the one that comes to my mind is Ben Watson, which I don't know how much he was into God before, but now he's really into it. And he got on CNN the other day and was talking about, was trying to tell people, they were trying to basically race bait him into saying, why whites and, black people were fighting. And it was, and he said, what the problem is nobody has God. And he starts to talk about Jesus and the importance of Jesus, and he magically got cut off. And you could see how uncomfortable the CNN woman was. And she's like, "Well, looks like he got cut off." And I'm like, "Yeah, he got cut off because y'all wanted him to." But that's the thing. There's a lot of trying to think of who it was. I think it was CJ Stroud, which is a new quarterback for the Texans, that he gave in a interview after a game, and the whole interview was cut short, that they showed just the end part of it, but the beginning part of it, all he did was talk about God and how God helped him and led him and made him ability to do it, and they cut it out. So I mean, I see it today, and we've talked about this before, that I feel like as a country, it's becoming more normal to be open about following Christ. And I think it's a good thing. The only problem I see is the validity of it. How many people are saying it because they mean it, and how many people are saying it because it's now become the cool thing to be a Christian?
Publicity,
Yeah,
great publicity.
because that's the big thing. Like, it's okay. I mean, talk about Christ. It's important. And again, I don't see anything wrong with it. Even if it for the wrong reason, you're still getting the word out there. But how much of it is you're truly following God, or you see that now it's become a trend that people, love God and follow God. But again, it's not my place to judge. So
Superficial.
I'm going to assume and trust that they're doing it for the right reasons, and God will sort it out when it comes. It's not my place to judge if it's real or not. So the only thing I'm thankful for is it's becoming something that is seen on national TV. We get kids, that idolize these celebrities and idolize these sports figures, and they're getting to hear about God from them, and it's becoming a normal, and they want to be part of it. So I don't know. I look at it as in maybe it's turning around. Maybe,
Well, it
all
better
the
turn around.
well,
Time is coming.
well, that's the thing. I mean, is we've seen a big drop off, but it seems like, maybe it's turning around, and maybe we'll see a new age of Jesus and Christ followers that we haven't seen before.
Signs are all around.
But kind of a little detour
I
of
was right where he's there. We went back on
recording.
track.
But again, we're talking about envy and covetousness today. And the first question we got is really defining what's the difference, because this is another term that when we talk about praise and worship, and this one is another one that a lot of times they get used synonymously. They use them as like they're the same word. If you envy somebody or you covet somebody, that just means the same thing, which they are very close, but they don't mean the same thing. So I'm just going to define it in the way that I can describe it, is that envy is not wanting somebody else to have something to the point that you don't want them to have it. Like, not as much as you care if you have it or not, but you just don't want them to have it. And you don't want them to, for example, somebody is the boss, and it's not like you want to be the lead, but you don't want them to have it. And it could be also you want to be the lead, and so you would rather them not have it, and you have the chance, even though you might not get it anyways. And so that's envy. Covetousness is when you want something that somebody else has. So you want to gain something from it. You want to have what they have, the car, the sneakers, the whatever it is, and you want to have it, and you want to it to be yours, and you're going to go to whatever extremes it takes to get there. So, Ted, I'll go ahead and let you define it in the way that you see it.
Well, you kind of covered it. Envy is a feeling of discontent or resentment towards someone else's possessions, qualities, or achievements. It involves wanting what someone else has and feeling upset that you don't have it yourself. Envy is often driven by a sense of competition or comparison with others and can lead to negative feelings and behaviors towards the person who is the object of envy. Covetous is a desire to possess something that belongs to someone else. It's more of an intense, insatiable form of envy where the person is coveting something, not only wants it for themselves, but also feels a strong sense of entitlement to have it. Covetousness can lead to unethical or even illegal actions in order to obtain the desired object, and can have harmful consequences for both the person coveting and the person being coveted. Envy is a feeling of wanting what someone else has, while covetousness is a more intense and possessive desire to take what belongs to someone else. Both emotions can have negative effects on individuals and relationships, and it is important to recognize and address these feelings in order to cultivate healthier attitudes towards others and their possessions.
Yeah, exactly. Again, wanting somebody else not to have it versus wanting me to have it. And so both of these, and the next question goes into how does these two things, how does envy and covetousness lead to sin and separation from our godly walk? And the first thing that I think of is, how does it lead you into sin? Well, when you want something so bad that you're willing to do anything to get it, then you're going to sin, most likely. I mean, usually getting something of this world leads to you having to get rid of something, a piece of your soul, basically. I mean, if you're wanting, the big one I think about here is drugs and addictions. You know, when you want drugs so bad that you'll do anything to get it, you'll try anything, you'll steal, you'll sell your body, do all sorts of things to get that. And we even see it in not even just drugs. You see it in just wanting money to go buy stuff and expensive things that people are willing to basically sell their soul. You know, you always get that joke that they sold their soul to the devil to get to where they're at. And in some cases, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a physically, okay, here, sign your soul over to the devil, but you're willing to do whatever it takes to climb that ladder. You're willing to destroy whoever you have to destroy to get there, and you don't look back. You don't care. I mean, you look at a lot of your CEOs and those that are in these big companies and leaders, and they just get there. A lot of times they had to do very unethical stuff to do it, take kickbacks. They had to, you know, smear good people's names to try to get an upper hand. And a lot of them don't care. A lot of them, you know, do you not care that you destroyed that person's life by that lie? And they don't. They got it, got them further along in their what they wanted, and so they didn't care. They just did it. And so, again, that wanting power. And I think covetous and envy always seem to be associated with money. But it's not just money. It's money. It's power. It's
pride.
Pride. Everything's pride. But power. I think power is a huge one. I think power speaks more than money. I mean, you look at people getting into politics in general. Politics don't make a lot of money. They're not getting a lot of money out of it, except the kickbacks you don't know about. But for the most part, it's the power aspect of it. When you're in a place of power, people want to know you. People want stuff from you, and you're able to gain more and more power through that. And so power and money go, you know, hand in hand. But those are both reasons that a lot of people covet or envy and covet. And again, if you're coveting something or you're envious of something, what does that tell you that you're not? And that word's content. You're not content with what you have. And there's so many places in the Bible that talks about being content, being content in where you're at, with how much money you have and what your living situation is that God is going to bless you, and God may take away things, but wherever you're at, whatever situation you're in, you have to be content with it, because what we deserve is nothing. Everything that we have is a blessing, and what we deserve is nothing. And so having anything at all, having life, being able to wake up, is a gift from God. And when you envy and you covet stuff, you want more and more, thinking that you deserve more and more. And when you can't come to, again, it's part of that rich man, it's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's that same thing as accepting that you need God. You can't get rid of that pride that I can do it on my own. And so it really just hurts your godly walk. And I'll let you go ahead and talk about what you see, how it leads to sin and our separation.
Well, envy and covetousness are often considered as negative emotions that can cause harm, not only to oneself, but also others. These feelings of resentment towards others for what they have or possess can lead to sinful actions and ultimately steer us away from our godly walk. Envy is defined as a feeling of discontent or resentment aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck. When we covet what others have, we are essentially expressing our desire to have something that does not belong to us. This can lead to unhealthy competition, bitterness, and even acts of deceit or betrayal in order to obtain what we covet. In the Bible, envy and covetousness are considered as sins. The 10th commandment specifically warns against coveting your neighbor's possessions, as it can lead to stealing, lying, and ultimately breaking your relationship with God. Envy and covetousness can also create a barrier between us and our fellow brothers and sisters, as we become consumed with comparison and competition rather than love and unity. Ultimately, envy and covetousness can lead us down a path of sin and separation from our godly walk. It is important to recognize these harmful emotions and turn to God for help in overcoming them. By focusing on gratitude, contentment, and love for others, we can avoid the pitfalls of envy and covetousness and stay true to our journey.
And again, it's a great example of what it leads to. Again, it talks about how the commandments, it's important enough that God included it into the Big Ten, you know, the 10 commandments. And so that it had to have had a significant importance to, you know, their walk with God. Because again, like I said earlier, it's the contentment issue. When you're not content, then, you know, you're not seeing the things that God is giving you. You're not seeing the blessings that have been given you. You're not thankful. Again, it tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Well, it's hard to give thanksgiving if you think you deserve something else, or you're not getting what you think you deserve. And so it's extremely important. Now, the next thing that we're going to go to is talking about, I think, again, one of the most important parts of the entire podcast is actually digging into the scripture and what it says about it. Because it doesn't matter how much we get on here and ramble about it, how much we think that something is right or wrong, or what we believe about it, that means nothing if we can't back it up with the scripture. And so first thing we're going to talk about is a couple of scriptures talking about envy. And I'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and read the one that I got from James 3, and it is 16, where it says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." So again, it leads back to what we were saying about when you envy somebody, when you envy something, your evil works will take place because people are, they don't want you to have something, so they're going to do whatever they have to knock you down. They don't want you to have it, not as much as they don't want to have it themselves, but they don't want you to have it, and they're willing to smear your name and say whatever they have to for you not to have it. And now, Ted, what was
1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is a big part of the love of God. I mean,
Well, I mean, what did Jesus say was the two greatest commandments?
love thy neighbor.
And
You got me.
he said, greatest commandment is to love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. So, I mean, those are the two greatest commandments are what are they rooted in? Love. And I love this passage. There's a song that uses this passage, and the beginning of, Corinthians is talking about, it doesn't matter if I speak in tongues, if you speak as an angel, that it doesn't matter if I don't have love. It even goes on to say that you could give your life for Christ as a martyr and have not love, it benefit you not. So it's one of those things that it all comes down to love. And with envy and covetousness, it's that way too. If you truly love your neighbor, love people, you'll be excited that they have new things. You'll be excited, especially with envy. You're not going to want them to come down a peg because there is, you want them to, you want them to have that stuff. You love them and you're excited when they get something like that because, hey, I know. You've worked hard. You've done your due diligence. You've done all these things, and you're in a good position, and that's awesome, And I think that with love, you have to remember that it doesn't envy anything because you love that person. And now I'll let you go ahead. What was the one in Luke that was
Luke
about?
12, 15 is covetousness.
Oh, okay, here it is. So Luke 12, starting in 13, and I love the little title. Thought I read it, said, "Beware of covetousness." And one of the company said to him, "This is in verse 13, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And it goes on and it talks about the parable where he says that he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build a greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." And again, that's kind of an eye-opening thing. It goes back to that saying we say, you can't take it with you when you die. That what's the point of coveting after what other people have? What's the point of coveting all this material wealth? The Bible tells us that the moth can get to it and eat it up, or you can have it rust, or it breaks, or it fails, and we're yet to buy a new one. But then when you die, I think of that picture I always see on Facebook where it shows three sets of bones buried in the ground, and it basically says poor man, rich man, powerful man, and they all end up in the same place. You're in the same grave, you're in the same hole. Your headstone might be prettier, but what underground is exactly the same. It's just a pile of bones, and it means absolutely nothing. And our time here on earth is just a short, just a blimp in time. But think about all the time that has passed, and that, we're here for 80 years, average 70, 80 years.
If you're healthy.
And so again, it's, you're here for a short amount of time, and then when you die, you can't take it with you. So we have to remember that coveting stuff and getting all this wealth doesn't do any good for us in that eternity, because in eternity, which is forever, for, I think of Amazing Grace, and when I've been there for 10,000 years, and then 10,000 more, I've heard even some people change it to 1 million years, when they sing it. But we're going to be there for eternity. So what matters most is what we lay up there, the things that we put in heaven. And it doesn't matter what we have here. If we live our whole life as a poor person, when we get to heaven, if we lived our life the way that we were supposed to, then we're going to be blessed there, rather than, it doesn't matter what way it was here. So now I'll let you go ahead and read your scripture.
Exodus 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I mean, that's Old Testament, but I mean, it's relevant today.
Yeah, don't.
Don't covet.
I mean, not really the servant part of it,
No.
but well, not in this part of the world. Now, in other parts of the world, slavery is still a big thing. But yeah, but I mean, it's your horse, your donkey. That again, that's like saying your car. I mean, that's their mode of transport. That was their car back then. Don't covet, how nice their car was in that time, how
Or their
nice your
house,
horse was. Yeah.
or their wife. May think they have a better wife than your wife.
That just leaves bad.
That's
But
bad.
what does that lead to? Something that we're going to talk about here in a week or two, depending on, in sexual immorality, it leads to you covet somebody else's wife, and if the other person is, if the wife or the husband, they say wife here, but it means wife, for us, wife or husband, and you, the other person's willing, you can end up destroying your marriage and cheating and, committing adultery. So again, covetous, enviousness leads to other sins. It's crazy how, if you could draw a line to how all these sins connect, like it wouldn't be a linear line. It wouldn't be a one connecting to another. It just it and then there's these little linear lines everywhere. It's like a spider web. It's like this leads to this, which can lead to this, but this over here can also lead to this, which leads to this, and it's they all connect. And I mean, that's I'm a nerd, so when it comes to the information and stuff like that, I love how stuff connects together, and there's no coincidences. How one sin can stem to a lot of other sins, but then another sin can stem to those, and so, the love of God, not having the love of God, can lead to pride, but the not having the love of God can lead to adultery too. And so it's so many different ways they all connect and come together, and it's like a big web. But now that gets to Ted's favorite part of the podcast, talking about personal experiences with envy and covetousness. So the first one that we're going to talk about is how we experience envy and covetousness before we came to Christ, before we have the spiritual walk that we have today. So again, Ted, I'll go ahead and let you start with this one, because you always gripe because I go first and I take all the good stuff you say. So I'll let you go first. So again, where in your life have what did covetousness and envy, what place did it have in your life before?
Before my walk. So Before my walk, I thought I knew God, but I was chasing things of the world. I worked in corporate. I traveled, traveled from one hospital to the next hospital, fix them up, get them ready for their federal inspections and things like that. And the better you do on those jobs, the more money you make, and then your name gets out there and you get calls from another state where they want you to come. And of course, they start negotiating about money. So I was all in for that money.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I wanted that money because I thought that's what life was about, was, success, money. I was doing a good job, but I wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
By no means, I was not happy, and that's why, that was part of the addiction to alcohol. I was trying to be happy, but, it was long hours, stressful, but the money was great.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't really enjoying the money, but the money I was making, like we had talked before the podcast, I got to the point where I wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
It was never enough. And the best thing I ever did was took a big cut. And I've been happy ever since.
Yeah. Well, and that's the difference in mine was, is mine was not as much about, I never did make a lot of money. I've made more money now that I'm closer to God now, and I've made advances in my life that I have gotten, moved up in my job and got settled down in my job. But before, mine was a lot more of coveting other stuff and envious of other people because I didn't have money. I grew up and my family wasn't completely poor. I mean, we struggled at times. When I was younger, we really struggled. But, we had, I didn't know what name brand stuff was for a long time. But, I never went hungry. As you could tell, I never went hungry.
No, you didn't go
hungry. There was times that we were strapped on money. But, and then I started working. And again, when you first start working, I had to get a job to get my wife over here. And so you have to start out at something menial, usually. Wasn't done with college yet. I didn't have a degree. I didn't have any skills, really, at the time. And so I got into a pretty start-out job. And I was there for a while. And I was telling somebody the other day, when we had my second son in 2021, right before while she was pregnant, I think my tax return was like $20,000 for the three of us. And again, back then, you say back then, it's been 3 years ago, but back then, I mean, the difference that COVID made on the price of everything, but back then it wasn't near as bad. I mean, $20,000 right now would be, I don't know how we would do it, but I never had any money. So I didn't have anything. I was driving I had my truck that my parents got me, and I had a $500 car that the roof was, the inside roof was falling out. The windows barely worked. Air conditioner only worked half the time, a little Saturn car. And, that's what we had. And we were driving my son around in it. And I look at all these other people around me and even the people that I'm working with, and they're driving a new vehicle, a nice new vehicle, a nice Ford or a nice, Chevrolet or whatever it is that they were driving. And I can remember sitting there thinking how jealous I was, how much I coveted that. Like I was to the point of, I can remember I got a $50 raise a month. And I told my wife, I said, I want to go get something for the house that's ours. That's something I didn't get at a yard sale, something I didn't get in a thrift store or something like that, something new that we bought. And we went and bought a sectional for the house and used up all that $50 that I made. And we were back to strapped for money, all because we wanted something nice in the house. And it's just, again, there's nothing wrong with wanting things. There's nothing wrong with, you know, wanting the best for you and your family. But the problem comes is when that becomes your entire focus. And in my life, that was my entire focus. I wanted to work more so that I could make more money. I was going to college. I was thinking about any and every way that I could get a better job with what I had. And I went and started working at a school, and I started coaching and all that, just a little extra money here or there. I get a stipend for this, a stipend for that. Even though I was going to work extreme amount of hours, it was just a little bit extra money so that it meant that I could buy something else. And so, you know, that's what my life led to, is just trying to find any way that I can make a little extra money here or there, at the sacrifice of spending time with my family, at the sacrifice of cutting into my relationship with God that I really didn't have at the time anyways. But it just, all that stuff cut into it, and it was just money, money, money. Now, I never got to the point that I completely neglected my family. I was home every night. I never went to the extremes of that to get money. But I wanted, you know, I wanted nice things, and I wanted money, and I wanted all the extra responsibilities, all the extra stuff that I could make that money and take away time from my family and from God and all that. And again, that was my, I didn't have a lot of money, and, you know, and I was trying to make a lot more money, but I was trying to have all the nice things I seen other people had. And at times, you know, I almost hurt myself. You know, I almost bought something I shouldn't have bought because I wanted it. You know, I almost bought a vehicle I couldn't afford because I wanted a nice vehicle. You know, and, you know, buy this or buy that so that I could say, I mean, look at what I have. But then, the truth be told, at the house, I'm stressed out to the max. And I did for a while. I mean, I was completely stressed out about money. I mean, until I got closer to God, I mean, all I did was worry about money, where we can get money for this or that, or could we buy this, could we buy that, you know. And I got to the point that, you know, again, that's how about now. You know, the second part of that question is now I don't, you know, I don't stress about it as much. I mean, at times when big bills come up or big things come up, you're like, you know, that kind of hurts, you know, but I don't stress about it. I don't let it eat me up. I mean, the worry that I used to have with it is just not there anymore. Which leads to our next personal question. That is, was there a time that envy and covetousness has gotten in the way of God? So this is afterwards. So after you're already having a godly walk, is there anything that, any way that envy or covetousness has tried to work its way into your life, you know, and this could be spiritual or not. So I'll let you go ahead and go.
I would have to say that since my walk with God, you know, since I came to that altar and I just laid it there and let him have it all and surrendered to him and told him, you know, use me, I've been content. Me and my wife, our life is awesome. You're talking about when bills come up, you know, stress or something. You know, there was a time that we were told, you know, it was a testimony of the church, that there was a time we were starting to worry about, you know, if we were going to have medical bills and stuff and how we're going to cover this and cover that. We just turned it over to the Lord. Well, Lord provided.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we just surrender to the Lord. I mean, he guides us on everything our whole life at this point. Now, spiritually, you know, we were talking about before the podcast, you know, there's sinful anger, godly anger. Mm-hmm. And then we start questioning, well, is there sinful envy and sinful covetousness, or is there godly covetousness, godly envy? As far as that part of it, if I was going to have to say, there would have been something, it would have been my prayer life. You know, a certain elder in the church that I have that envy, that I want that. Mm-hmm. I want to be that powerful. But I know that I have to give that to the Lord, and He'll give it to me when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't affect my walk with God or anything, because I constantly tell Him, use me. Give me the strength, give me the knowledge and the wisdom to do Your will. Like I said, I guess we've reached that contentment point, that we're just content.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this quite a few times in Bible study, and I think we may have talked about it on this too, is I think age plays a big part into it too. I know you like, yeah, but again, don't let, you know, your gray hair is giving you away. So no, I'm just joking. But yeah, but as you get older, you start realizing, you start
seeing.
Hey,
now my wife's younger than me.
Well, yeah, that's okay. you can be the silver fox. But again, as you get older, you start seeing the importance. And, you know, a lot of people, it happens and you can't get time back, but a lot of people see it when their kids move out, when their kids get to college, when their kids grow up, and then they look back and they have time. You know, they're not, you know, the kids are not running wild. You're not having to worry about the kids anymore. They're their own people. And then you have time to think about what you did, you know, where you messed up, where you could have done better. And
we're trying to teach the younger generation, don't make those mistakes.
Yeah,
and
it's just like,
they don't listen.
Yeah, and it's just like you see where, man, I should have went to more ball games, or I should have, you know, took not worried so much about money and or not got that new vehicle so that I could spend more time with my kids at home. And again, you can't get that time back. You can't, you know, your kids will get older and they might understand, you know, hey, I know that dad couldn't be there because he had to work and he had to provide. But there are things in our life we could cut back on, and things in our life that we could say, okay, we don't have to have this. We don't have to have this new vehicle. We don't have to have this new bass boat or this camper or this big house. And just take that and use it to spend time with your family and spend time with God and all that. And as you get older, you look back and you can see where you messed up and how that youthfulness and that ambition that you may have had before really just hurt you in your relationships and in the people that you were around. And I think that's where you get to a lot of older people, and, you know, older, I'm not trying to be rude, but, you know, those that are, I would say.
You know, I know what Pastor was talking about. Sonny was said them young whippersnappers.
Well, I mean, I'm getting closer to 30 every day.
Ooh.
So
wow.
I'll be there eventually. You know? Well, I'm telling you right now, you talk to kids today and I'm as old as.
Yeah.
I'm as old as the hills, but have them ask you about, you know, about Vietnam and stuff like that.
Well, you were asking me about World War II.
Well, I wasn't really, not. I was asking you about, like, you were in it. Like, I just, like, you know.
Oh, Lord.
You were, yeah. But it's just, when you get older, you start realizing, and a lot of the conversations I've had with those individuals that have been around, you know, they tell you, you know, yeah, I'm content. You know, we have a couple that comes during Bible study that talks about that they're content now. And you hear a lot more that I'm content, that I'm content with what I have. And, you know, I think us whippersnappers should pay a little bit more attention and listen a little bit more. I know that You know, sometimes it's easier to say, you know, we live in a different time. Stuff costs more than it has ever cost before. And sometimes it's easy to just say, oh, they're just saying that because, you know, they're older and they have all that stuff. But they make a valid point. And if you can, you know, not have something and to take that time and spend it with God or spend it with your family, do it. I mean, I'm just lucky enough to have had, I have enough. I listen to the people in my life, and I have, you know, seen the effects of not being around. And, you know, especially with my kids at school, you see how many kids that all they do is want a dad, all they want is a mom, and their parents aren't there for whatever reason. And you see that, and you see the hurt and the wanting in them, and you think about, and it really opens your eyes to your own life. You know, am I spending enough time with my kids? Does my kids feel that way? But yeah, but then goes to mine. Again, I don't have any, I mean, I have the typical, you know, I would like to have a nice car. I'd like to have a bigger house. I would like to have a camper, you know, all these things I'd like to have. I never really act on them, but I would like to have them.
Yeah.
You know, with us, wife's car is getting older, and it's still running right now, and we keep talking about, but we need to get a new vehicle, and it's getting up there in mileage. It might break down, and that, you know, that's the thing. Like, we're talking about wanting to buy a new vehicle, and nothing's even happened yet. You know, the thing's still driving, it still runs just fine. So, you know, again, I can see those different things, but none of it gets in my walk, in the way with my walk with God. I mean, if it came down to it, I wouldn't sacrifice or sin in any way to get that car. But spiritually, as we talked about before, with me, mine's not envy. I wouldn't ever dream of it somebody else not having it. You know, I never dream of, you know, I don't envy the prayer life of somebody else because I don't want them not to have it. I want them to keep it, but I want it for myself too. And that's my thing. Like, I covet it, I guess, is the better word for mine. Is I look, and we talked about it before we started the podcast, about some of the dreams that you have and some of the spiritual gifts I've seen other people have. And again, I look at my own, I don't have dreams. I don't have a spiritual gift that, you know, really pops out the spiritual side of it. And so for me, I covet that. I want that. And I have to be, and it does get in my way of God, because the Bible tells us that not everybody can be hands. Not everybody can be feet. You know, the mouth can't say to the eye that it's any, you know, that it wants to be an eye. You know, the body of Christ needs all types of people. And that you have to realize that when God is ready to give that to you, or when God, if God's telling you, that's not my plan for you, that's not what I want for you, that you have to be content with that and understand that that's what he wants. And when you covet after those gifts or covet after those things, it causes you to be just worried about that. And it can even lead to you, and, you know, think about someone faking a ability or something like that, or lying or doing something like that so that they can convince themselves that they have it, or convince others that they have it. And so mine is, and so I have to remember that, you know, my job might not be to be a deacon or to be a pastor or to be a worship singer. You know, that's a big one for me. I love music. I love, you know, all that, but I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And
I'll admit.
I'm like, I'm so, the one that gets me is, you know, Chance, being able to, you know, he's like choir before and he has that wonderful voice, and I just sit there and I just jealous, I guess. I'm like, man, I wish that my joyful noise was less a joyful noise and more of a joyful singing.
Yeah.
But again,
are you saying you can't carry a tune in a bucket?
Yeah. Can't do that. I think part of mine comes to it doesn't help either that I have that genetic hearing loss thing too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like I don't like what I hear in my head.
Yeah.
Or what I hear is just a distortion of reality. And so I think that's part of my problem. I'll blame it on that. We'll just,
yeah. And
probably just because I can't sing. But yeah, that, again, that stuff like that, like I would love to be able to do that.
I think I'm sitting here thinking about that. You know, he was talking about what the envy and covetous spiritually. I think it's, we're to the point, or some are to the point that we want to please God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only priority to us right now is we want to please God.
Mm-hmm.
So that might play some part into that.
Well, I mean, that leads back to you talking about is there godly envy and covetousness? I don't think that's the right word for it to say that. I guess it's... it's not, it's growth. It's wanting growth. And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to grow and wanting to grow in your spiritual gifts and wanting to grow with what you have. It's when you start trying to have spiritual gifts that aren't yours, or you're trying to, you know, you're envious or you're covetous, or you covet, you know, other people's gifts. No, that becomes a problem, but there's no problem in wanting to grow, wanting your prayer life to grow, wanting your spirituality to grow. I mean, those are all great things to have. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us, and I've made my, you know, talking about lukewarmness, the Bible tells us in Revelations, when he's talking to one of the churches where it says, I would rather you be, I think it's Revelations 3, it's talking about that I want you to be either hot or I want you cold.
Yeah.
I don't want you lukewarm because that's a terrible place to be. And again, being hot is growing, you know, is getting closer to God and wanting to be close to Him. And again, our last question is one that is probably the most important. You know, it's the important one when it comes to what do you do now when you see it. So as we're talking and we're describing it, you know, are you seeing it in your life? The next question is how do you get rid of it? And for me, you know, step one is, are you saved? If you're not saved, then there's no way to get over it anyways. So again, you got to be saved, but also you have to be able to have contentment. That's the big one. If you're not content, you will always be envious and covetous. Always be it. Because you're always looking for the next best thing, or you're always looking to be like somebody else. You're never content. You want more and more and more. And so that's the big thing. When you learn to be content, that's when you're going to get rid of envy and get rid of covetousness. And again, as we've said before, the only way to be content is to, as I said before, realize that we don't deserve anything, that God doesn't have to give us anything, that our life, waking up, being alive right now, being able to do this podcast, I wasn't owed that. I don't deserve that. I deserve death, and I deserve punishment, and I deserve hell. And until you realize that every little thing that you have in your life, every little waking up, a truck, a house, having money to buy takeout, being able to have shoelaces on your shoes, I mean, even the littlest things, you know, realizing that those are all blessings. It reminds me of a song that comes on Caleb that says counting my blessings. And, I count my blessings, and you know I can't count that high, you know, and it's so true. Counting your blessings, looking at, and that's another thing, to be content, you can't have a negative attitude. You can't be focused on all the things you don't have. You have to be focused on, you have to come into his courts with thanksgiving, as the Bible says. You have to be thankful. That's why my prayer life, that's the first and foremost thing. Again, as it says, it comes into his gates with thanksgiving. Your prayer should start with, man, what are you thankful for? And when you have that mindset of what am I thankful for, what things that I get, the blessings that I have, then you start seeing everything in a different way. You start seeing that, you know, you're having a bad day, or you don't have this, or you don't have that. You didn't deserve it to begin with. You know, you might be on top of the world. You might be a millionaire. And tomorrow you might be broke. And either way, you are right where you already have more than what you deserve. And when you wrap your mind around that, contentment is easy. So, Ted, you can go ahead.
First step is to recognize and acknowledge these feelings when they arise. By being mindful of our emotions, we can begin to understand the root cause of our envy and take steps to address them. It is also important to practice gratitude and appreciation for what we already have in our lives by focusing on the positives and counting our blessings. We can shift our mindset away from comparison and towards contentment. Building self-confidence and self-worth can help diminish feelings of inadequacy that often fuel envy. Yeah, I think inadequacy is a big one with a lot of people. I know it was for me. By recognizing our own strengths and accomplishments, we can be more secure in ourselves and less likely to covet what others have. Fostering a sense of community and support among friends and family can help combat feelings of envy. By celebrating others' successes and sharing in their joys, we can build stronger relationships and create a positive environment where envy has less room to thrive.
Exactly. I mean that's
that's why in church we celebrate every person's milestones.
Mm-hmm. You say your testimony. When we're doing prayer requests, a lot of times it's a prayer request / praise report type of time, because, you know, the things that happen, it's so important to see God working and be reminded of, you know, of what he does give us and the things that we get. And it's just, and it all goes back. Again, this is a stumbling block that until you can be content in God and content in what he gives you, there's not... It's impossible to have good relationships. You can't have good relationships with people if you're willing to step all over them to get what you want. You can't have good relationships with God if you're more worried about money and things than you are him. And so, again, all these stumbling blocks, you could probably draw a line that connects every one of them. But until you can get rid of them in your life, there's not much you can do on the front of, you know, getting closer to him. And I know it probably seems like we've been on forever talking about, you know, the stumbling blocks. But again, you cannot move forward until you can identify the problems that you have in your life so that you can get better at them. And we're almost done. Yeah, like one or two more. And then we'll get to the fruits of the Spirit and how, what we can translate these into. But again, I want to end the way we always end, reminding you, if you're in the Clarksville, Arkansas area, and or even if you're in another state or in another town and you want to, we have a Facebook Live that you can watch it on there. It's on YouTube. It streams on YouTube. But if you're in the area, you can come, and it's awesome. It's a great church, and we would love to have you again. Sunday morning starts at 9:20 for prayer, 10 o'clock for service. We have Grace Point Kids, so that your kids are going over there and learning about Jesus on their level. And then on Wednesdays, except for the first of the month, we have Bible study starting at prayer starts at 6:30. The Bible studies or Bible study starts at 7, and we also have our Bible study that we do with a group of people on Saturdays, starting at 5. A great way to right now we're practicing talking about ourselves, practicing talking to other people about ourselves, which then translates into discipleship and being able to tell people about God. And so, again, if you're in this area, we would love to have you. It's a great church that is passionate and cares about people and what you need. So you prayed last week, didn't you? It's my turn. Okay, so dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to have this opportunity to have a podcast and be able to reach people and to help people with, their problems. And we pray that you work with those and you help those, and as they so that they see the stumbling blocks in their life, so that they can overcome them, so that they can have a greater relationship with you and their family and those that are around them. And God, we pray that you get rid of covetousness and envy in our lives, that we're content with whatever you give us, that we don't deserve all the things that we have, that we don't want what we deserve, that every little thing is a blessing and is a gift that we shouldn't have. And help us see that. Help us understand that if we're in poverty or we're rich, you have given it to us. You have blessed us with it. And help us as we go out this week and we learn to mend relationships and overcome stumbling blocks and to get closer to you and have a relationship with you, and that we can reach people and share your good news. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.